Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this fifth day of December 2018. Yesterday, many of you who heard Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, well, in fact, all of you who heard Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, know that our guest yesterday was Vocab Malone, and we are delighted to have Vocab back on the program for the second day in a row. Yesterday, we basically received an introduction to what the cult, the Black Hebrew Israelites, is all about. And today we are going to be specifically addressing in the first hour the infiltration of the Black Hebrew Israelites into the Black Church. Vocab Malone is contributing author to Our God is Triune, Essays in Biblical Theology, and he's the author of Barack Obama versus the Black Hebrew Israelites, An Introduction to the History and Beliefs of One West Hebrew Israelism. And the second hour of the program, a friend of Vocab's, Jaron Scheider, who is more commonly known as Brother J, or should I say Brother J? Brother Jay, he is a former member of the Black Hebrew Israelites, and he's going to be giving his personal testimony on how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ drew him out of that cult and rescued him and saved him. But first of all, it is my honor and privilege to welcome you back for the second day in a row to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Vocab Malone.
Thank you so much, my man Chris. I told Brother Jay, I said, hey, you're going to have fun when Chris interviews you, because when you tell a joke, he's going to laugh. So try to be as funny as possible.
Right, he better hope the only time I'm laughing is when he's telling me a joke. It's very eerie sometimes, Vocab, when I am laughing my brains out on this end, and I have noticed that there is a odd, uncomfortable, and strange silence on the other end. That does happen sometimes.
But I'll try not to do you. I'll try not to do you like that.
Well, let our listeners know, in summary, what the Black Hebrew Israelites are. Again, there are probably a lot of people who missed yesterday's program, and let our listeners know. Actually, before that, a summary of who you are and how you got to become involved as a Christian apologist interacting with Black Hebrew Israelites.
Well, yeah, my name is Vocab. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, but I first encountered the Hebrew Israelites through my friends in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm originally from, and I've been running into them ever since then, online and actually in the street. Sometimes we go out when we know where they're at and speak to them on the corners as well. And the reason why I'm involved was because I saw a need that I felt wasn't being fulfilled. And I was involved heavily with Islam as far as doing apologetics to Muslims and things like that at the time. But I saw, even though that was a pressing need, I saw there was other people doing that. And I said, well, maybe I can switch my number one focus from Islam to Hebrew Israelism and keep Islam as number two, because because I see a great need, and I just didn't see it really being filled with apologetic material, and yet there was a lot of apologetic questions being raised. And that decision has paid off as far as me learning a lot and seeing some fruit, of which you're going to interview Brother Jay, who came out of Hebrewism, and things like that. But I'm still like, hey, guys, if someone wants to come along and take my place, I'll go back to doing some stuff on Islam. Just let me know. But for now, I'm not literally saying I'm the only person doing it. I'm just saying that not everyone involved is willing to put themselves out there probably as much as I have. I think that's probably fair to say, because these guys can be unpleasant sometimes. But nonetheless, God is good, and I'm glad to discuss it because I think it's a good warning, and we can be proactive once we hear the problems presented, I hope.
Well, praise God. And I do want to let our listeners know that my friend David Wood, many of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners are very familiar with that name, David Wood, because especially when I was broadcasting it out of New York on WNYG and WGBB radio on Long Island, David Wood was actually the most frequently interviewed guest on this program. He is an apologist with the Acts 17 Apologetics Network. I'm doing this off the top of my head. That's the name of his ministry, right? Acts 17 Apologetics Network.
You got it. Acts 17 Apologetics. Yep.
Yes, and he told me that Vocab's book, Barack Obama versus the Black Hebrew Israelites: An Introduction to the History and Beliefs of the One West Hebrew Israelism, is the best book in print on the Black Hebrew Israelites, and he would not throw that kind of a compliment around loosely. In fact, he is the one that urged me to interview Vocab yesterday, and I'm glad we have him back. What you told me, I can't remember right now if you told it to me on the air or after we were off the air, but you told me that there is a serious problem in the inner city, especially amongst church, amongst congregations that are dominated by black members. There is a serious problem with an infiltration of the black Hebrew Israelites into some of these congregations. And if you could pick it up from there.
Well, yeah, there's so much that it's difficult to know really where to begin. But even if we went all the way back to the first time we see the Hebrew Israelites sort of appear on the landscape, they've always sort of been a leech on the church. What I mean is, that's where they get their members from, is sort of the lifeblood of the church in the city. Much like, in some ways, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Very frequently, the stats I've seen are that most Jehovah's Witnesses that go that way have been prior involved in some way in some kind of Christianity at some level. They're poorly churched people, and the Jehovah's Witness come along and swoop them up. See a very similar phenomenon. You don't hear a lot of atheists going into Hebrew Israelism, for example, but you do hear people who say, I went to church, I tried that. So going all the way back, I mentioned yesterday, William S. Crowdy, 1896, he had a visionary experience where a voice told him that the blacks of America were actually the Israelites of old. He began a church called the Church of the Living God. And that church is still around in some form or another. There's actually a couple different varieties of it, and you can look it up. And the sects still view William S. Crowdy as some kind of prophet because of this truth he brought forward. Another example is F.S. Cherry in 1915 out in Philadelphia. And a lot of these guys came out of a Christian background, and then they swooped Christians into their movement. Another one in 1900, Warren Robertson, 1900 in Virginia. The name of that group was the Temple of the Gospel of the Kingdom. And so my point is that this has always been the case. You could call Hebrew Israelism a parasitic movement. Maybe you could say it's Dracula, it's a vampire upon the neck of mainly the black church. But as the movement's growing, it's also getting more and more Hispanics and Latinos involved as well into some of the groups. So now the problem is just becoming exacerbated because Christianity's sway is falling away, not only in the broader culture, but even in the black community. And so sort of sort of easy pickings more and more. The Hebrew Israelites have been trying for years to move into the Bible Belt with very little success. It's mainly been a northeastern phenomenon. However, the past 10 years, really even the past 5 years, Chris, that has changed. Now you're seeing these camps pop up all over the Bible Belt, from Tallahassee to Oklahoma and everywhere in between. Without exception, that's one of their largest growth sectors now, is in the South. And so this is a problem. And not only that, you actually see examples of some actual churches flipping, where the pastor actually flips the church into a Hebrews-like congregation. Now, granted, these are syncretist-styled churches. They're not identical to the guys out on the street with the sandwich boards and the picket signs and the laminated posters. They're not as bad. However, they still all have those doctrinal problems I mentioned yesterday, which is denial of the Trinity, a denial of Christ's divinity, a denial of the Holy Spirit's role and personhood, who he is, some kind of works-based salvation. Usually they say you got to keep the law to attain some kind of salvation, and some kind of ethnic hierarchy. All five of those errors they still have. I could give example after example, but that's kind of the introduction to the problem, Chris.
Yes, and by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I have a friend who is a thoroughly knowledgeable expert on the Unification Church, the Moonies, as they have been called, who has told me that, unlike what many people wrongly think, the Moonies are actually a larger cult than ever before, and people don't realize it because they have many, 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 many names that they use other than the Unification Church. And they have infiltrated predominantly black and Hispanic churches in the inner city as well, because they also offer these churches a lot of financial support. And he has told me that many of the ministers in the inner city have been duped into Moon's heretical doctrine.
Yeah, that's bad. Now, there's the difference, of course, is the centralization aspect is absent in Hebrew Israelism. There is no governing body. There is no central leader or authority. Now, each individual camp or church does have usually a very hierarchical authoritarian structure, but there's no one, there's no, you know, kind of a pope of the Hebrew Israelites in any meaningful way. That's what even makes it more concerning to me, because it's such an organic thing. So let me give some examples. You could go online right now and look up a website called Straightway Truth, S-T-R-A-I-T, Way Truth. And there you'll see on the front page a large group of people, and you'll notice immediately there's a lot of kids present. You'll also notice that it's not all people of color. Clearly, it's almost half, you know, people of color and half white folks. Now, how is that in a congregation that embraces Hebrew Israelism? Well, what happened there in Tennessee with the leader, whose name is Pastor Dow, as he calls himself, who, by the way, teaches polygamy. And so, you know, you kind of get an idea of what you're getting real fast there. But they're in Lafayette, Tennessee, and they have a couple branches throughout the United States, very prominent on the Internet. The reason is because not all the Hebrew Israelites teach that non-Israelites, as they see them, non-Israelites will be doomed to servant status or something like that. Some of them teach that you can be grafted in. And so Pastor Dow's so-called ministry is an example of that. Now, prior to flipping into Hebrew Israelism, he was a charismatic Pentecostal leader. And the strange thing is, even though Hebrew Israelism is all over his videos, he still embraces very Pentecostal things, such as exorcism, and even talks about speaking in tongues and things like that. So it's syncretic, and it tricks people who don't really know what's going on. One time, he mentioned me when he was speaking, and he said, "Oh, Vocab likes to just quote the church fathers." Now, that's not true. That's not how we argue. But we do go into church history sometimes to show, for example, that Hebrew Israelism has no pedigree. And he said, "I'll tell you who our church fathers are. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's our fathers." And so that's kind of the mentality that you have with Pastor Dow often when he's doing this video, you see him in the background with an AR-15, and he'll be, you know, talking some stuff about the law to keep the feast day, supposedly, or some kind of quasi-charismatic thing. And you can all see this right there on the website, and you might even understand why some people could get trapped into this, but that's an example. I don't know the date of when the Straight Way group flipped over. All I know is ever since I've been on the scene, I've seen them around, and that's a very good example. It's not always the naked, raw, crass, street-styled Hebrew Israelism. And in fact, when it infiltrates the churches, it usually takes on a different form. Pastor Dowell's church there is a perfect example. That's one. I can give you more. Just let me know what you want me to do.
Oh, yeah, you can continue to give us more.
All right, because I like to give little pauses and breaks so people can ask questions or whatever they need to do. All right, another.
Well, you're at it. I might as well, since you said that, I might as well give out our email address. If you would like to join me on the air with a question for Vocab Malone on the Black Hebrew Israelites, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Okay, pick up where you left off there.
Awesome. Another great example is the Philadelphia Christian Church. They're also in a city called Lafayette, but they're in Louisiana, not Tennessee. And their group there, the Philadelphia Christian Church, is larger than Pastor Dowell's. And according to pastors that I've spoken to in the area, really, really is exhibiting some kind of influence in the area. And in fact, they're doing conferences called School of the Hebrews. They do all this School of the Hebrews stuff there. Now, let me show you something to show you how pernicious and sneaky basically a Hebrew Israelite church, because there is such a thing now, unfortunately, can be by reading simply here the About section under Pastor Omar Thabu. That's the man who is the leader of this congregation. I'm gonna pick up right here because I think this might be of interest to your listeners. He began preparing for his calling by attending New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. In 2006, he accepted his calling to the ministry. Since 2007, Pastor Omar Thabu has shepherded the flock of Philadelphia Christian Church. Now, if you read the bio, there's nothing in there about Hebrew Israelism in any way. There's none of the telltale signs immediately. And it's especially interesting that he went to a Southern Baptist seminary, the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. That's a Southern Baptist school. Now, bless their hearts, it's a bastion of Arminianism, but nonetheless, that's where he attended. And yet, they do all this School of the Hebrew stuff that is Hebrew Israelism in every way. Now, it's very difficult to make out what a lot of these folks believe. What exactly is their Christology? It's not fully determined yet. What is, some of their other views? Still working that out. But it's a Hebrew Israelite group, and the pastors on the ground there that I've talked to really showed strong concern. But let me just real quick show you the last couple of videos on the School of the Hebrews YouTube site, which has 28,000 subscribers, which is substantial. Hebrew cosmology, NASA is fake, never went to the moon. Hebrew cosmology, the globe is false science. Hebrew cosmology, the earth is not a globe. Now, you may be saying, what does that have to do with anything? Well, probably a quarter of Hebrew Israelites are flat earthers. And so that's a dead giveaway, the flat earth stuff right there. But let me give you one more title just to show you. And if you went on this website, everyone, you'd be like, oh, he looks like a pastor. That looks like a podium. It has a cross on it. They've got flowers on the background. This looks very normal. But then you see this title that says 400 years. Time is almost up. An hour and 40-minute video. What's that all about? Well, let me tell you. How long were the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage the first time? Approximately 400 years. How long has there been black slavery in America? Approximately 400 years. Because in Jamestown, in 1619, they brought some black slaves. What's the year next year? 2019. That's 400 years. Remember yesterday we learned about Deuteronomy 28:68, how they view America as the new Egypt? Well, if it's the new Egypt, there's going to be a new Exodus. That means at the 400-year mark, time is up. So you go on the website, but the thing is, I know this. A lot of Christians who might be impressed with his speaking and his unique approach to Scripture that seems very Hebrew-influenced, and they just like the name, School of the Hebrews, they might be impressed by this. But then they get sucked into Hebrew-Israelism next thing you know. Very, very dangerous because it has soteriological implications because none of these groups have a proper soteriology in any way. And Omar Thabu is another example. And all these ministries I'm telling you about, Chris, all of them appear to be growing. I've been kind of keeping tabs on them. I'm not saying I have numbers in my back pocket or something like that, but I could tell you by all the telltale signs, they are clearly growing. Another example, and like I said, you can stop me if you want. I'm going to go more now to a couple of specific leaders or individuals. There's a guy named Ron Shields, Divine Prospect, he calls himself. That's really what he calls himself. He's actually dialogued briefly with Dr. James White and even attended one of his lectures, so they've met. Who is Divine Prospect? What's his deal? Well, he's in Atlanta, Georgia, and historically, he's been seen as some kind of champion for the Hebrew Israelites because he's by far the most gifted of them in the academic area. They generally are not very strong in that area. Divine Prospect, a.k.a. Ron Shields, has defended them against attacks by other groups, including me. So him and I have debated and dialogued because I'm seen by some of them as a threat to Hebrew Israelism. Well, what's been happening lately with him? He has been transitioning. He's trying to take his Hebrew Israelism that he's by far their most notable apologist. He's trying to take it into the churches. November 2nd through 4th, there was a men's conference night hosted at King Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. All the men pictured here are all pastors. In fact, one of them is from Hartsville Presbyterian. Now, I don't know what kind of Presbyterian church he is, but one of the speakers at this conference was actually a Presbyterian. And you can go and see this online as well. Guess who's speaking at the conference? Ron Shields speaking at the conference as well. This is a Hebrew Israelite. This is somebody who, when I debated him, said that he was agnostic in regards to the bodily resurrection. This is somebody who believes that there's a council. This is someone who's a henotheism. I'm not going to get all the details, but basically he believes in multiple gods. This is somebody who said that you can't even fully fault the Canaanites for the child sacrifice they did because that was their cultural way to worship, and Yahweh hadn't appeared to them, and so we can't condemn it as all-out immoral. And these are things that all came out in debates I did with him. The list goes on and on. This is someone who denies Trinitarian baptism. Him and I tangled on that in Matthew 28:18-20, and he claimed it was a textual variant, and James White actually had me on the dividing line to, and I say this humbly, but I say this also talking a little bit of trash, put the total academic smackdown on Divine Prospect's claim in Matthew 28:20. So this guy is speaking at a men's conference at a missionary Baptist church. So there's a couple others I'm going to give, but I need to take a drink of water and hear what you have to say, Brother Chris.
Well, I'm wondering, in your opinion, from what you've observed and because of your interaction with these folks, what is the draw for a church to become so fascinated and intrigued and impressed by different versions of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement that they would open up their doors and put out the welcome mat and invite these people into their pulpits and actually allow themselves to be transformed from one degree to another to embrace their teachings? Is it like, for instance, there are and there have been for quite a while, unfortunately, churches in the Black community, in the inner city especially, that have been seduced by the Nation of Islam. You know, you will have Baptist churches on occasion giving their pulpit to Farrakhan. And there seems to be a camaraderie about the social justice movement, if you will, or black pride, in opposition to white oppression against the black community. That those kinds of things are so so much a part of the social gospel of the black church at large that they will become allies with people that deny historic Christianity. And I'm sure that there are other reasons, but is that what you see going on here with the black Hebrew Israelites? Is it something different?
Well, when it comes to Divine Prospect, for example, Ron Shields, who spoke at this men's conference, I don't think any of these other speakers have any idea who he is or what he's doing. I don't know who he knew at the conference to get on, but I get the impression that they don't really know. They just think he's a young man who's intellectually gifted and speaks well or something like that. I don't think that they actually understand. Now, what it does is it makes him appear more credible in the eyes of some of his followers, of which he has a substantial amount. He also teaches polygamy. He's a polygamist as well. These groups, they have different ways to infiltrate. Now, in regards to your question about people who are more knowingly doing this, well, you know, this is tough because, to be honest, I see sometimes some of the same kind of hypocrisy within other churches. For example, I think, you know, some of the coziness that churches have gotten with Donald Trump and some of the people that have been speaking it at engagements such as at places like Liberty University or what you see down there with the, I forgot his name off the top of my head, but the pastor in Texas who has these basically 4th of July celebrations inside a congregation there. And
Pastor Jeffress. Pastor Jeffress, you're talking about.
Yeah, you see this kind of compromise because there's a lust for worldly power and stuff. And back in the day when Glenn Beck was more popular, he threw this rally at the White House lawn, and he's been praying Mormon prayers, basically, and the evangelicals are there, you know, Glenn Beck, amen, and all this. It's just, what is going on? Well, so there's a susceptibility to this kind of compromise, no doubt, no question. But here's what it is. It's almost like, just like, I'm not saying this is excusable. Some people say, well, you know, Donald Trump did this, but he also did this. They're kind of weighing his negatives and positives in their mind. Well, a lot of these folks, in regards to some of the people you mentioned, do the same thing. And I'll tell you what I mean. Farrakhan certainly got problems. He's a heretic. He's a false teacher. But in the Nation of Islam's heyday, when they would decide to clean up a block, Chris, they had the power and clout to push off drug dealers from the block and in the neighborhoods. They would literally guard the projects, and the drug dealers were vacant. Now, the Nation of Islam is really shrinking in size and influence. As this happens, they're not able to do those kinds of things. But people remember things like that, and they see Farrakhan speaking about fatherhood and being a man and being a leader and starting your own business and taking risks. And we, you know, people on the outside are just like, well, yeah. But see, they see that, and it's almost like, well, he's got these eccentric things. We'll kind of put those on the side. So there's all these challenges, and what I'm trying to do, Chris, there with that is not make excuses. I'm trying to give people sort of an empathetic heart. I'm not trying to excuse anything. I'm not an apologist for the NOI, Nation of Islam. But I am trying to give people an empathetic heart that helps them to kind of have a window into the problems in the community, so maybe where they kind of understand how this compromise could happen. Now, when it comes to the Hebrew Israelites, it's somewhat similar because there's churches who feel like detached from Christianity. Oh, I'm sorry, detached from history. They practice a Christianity that feels detached from the history of the Christian church, and they practice Christianity that feels very detached from the context of the Bible. And all of a sudden, this Hebrew Israelite starts bringing up things from the Old Testament and connecting things where they never saw these connections before, and it feels like, I'm getting connected to the actual roots of Scripture again. Because remember, a lot of times these prior to this were prosperity churches or maybe extreme type of Pentecostal churches. And so this Hebrew Israelism looks like a much more robust doctrine than what they were getting into before. So it actually, to a lot of people, feels like an elevation, a step up, believe it or not. And I'll give you an example within mainstream, to an extent, Christianity as well. This is happening with something called the Hebrew Roots Movement. There's something called the Hebrew Roots Movement that infiltrates a lot of churches, especially those who have tendency or lean in the direction of what you might call Messianic Jewish. And Hebrew Roots has really created a problem for a lot of these churches because they do this thing called the One Law. Sometimes they'll call themselves the One Law people, saying there's one law for Jew and Gentile, and they use that as some kind of excuse. They basically just go back to Old Testament stuff, much like Judaizers of old or the people that the author of Hebrews is warning against lining up with. And so this kind of thing is happening in other places as well. So you see that there as well. And then this. You see pastors taking three offerings a service, driving around in fancy cars, talking, you know, with all these catchphrases and all this kind of stuff, and kind of amassing power for himself. And I'm not saying you see this everywhere, because this is what some people's perception is and some people's experiences. This is not the case with everybody or everything. I'm just telling you sort of the view that I get from a lot of Hebrew Israelites who used to identify as Christians in some way. And Hebrew Israelism comes along, and it looks much more modest. It looks much more humble. It looks much more democratized. The men are going to be part of the leadership all of a sudden, not just one guy up there. It looks much more masculine. It looks like a very attractive alternative. And not only that, instead of talking about making the pastor's pockets fat, basically, with his new jet or his spaceship to preach the gospel on Mars like Creflo Dollar said he wanted to do if we ever discovered life on Mars, what do you have? You have somebody who's talking about economic empowerment in the community. Somebody who's giving very practical instruction about child rearing in the community.
By the way, I want to start a movement to send Creflo Dollar to Mars. I don't know
right.
I hope you'll join me on that.
Right, yeah. I don't know if the cost is worth it, but maybe we could get one of those Acme rockets or something like that. But it's a real issue, and so it's really multifaceted with what's going on, and some people just don't know. Meaning, when these things are happening, or these guys they just don't understand really exactly what's happening. Sometimes they think it's just another Christian group. Oh, they just meet on Saturdays. A great example of that is the Gathering of Christ Church. I mentioned them briefly yesterday.
In fact, if you could pick up on the Gathering of Christ Church when we return from our break.
Yes, sir.
And if anybody wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnson will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Weiss, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit getworldnow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sorensen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the first hour is Vocab Malone. We are talking about the infiltration of the Black Hebrew Israelites into the Black Church. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Jaron Scheider, a.k.a. Brother J, who is a former member of the Black Hebrew Israelite cult and is now, thanks be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a born-again believer in Christ, and we're going to hear his testimony in the second hour. If you'd like to join us with a question right now for Vocab Malone, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if you could, pick up where you left off, the gathered Church of Christ, or I can't remember the name of the cult that you were talking about.
The Gathering of Christ Church.
There you go.
They do descend out of that radical faction called One West from New York that I mentioned yesterday. However, they've modified enough of their positions now that if you went to their website, as I have done, or attended one of their services, you might almost think you're just going to a Christian church that meets on Saturday. Now, James White actually debated their head leader, a man named Elder Rakah, twice. I set up the debates. The debates are very interesting, and they really expose the lack of knowledge that the leader of the second largest Hebrew Israelite camp has. The first largest is IUIC, and the second largest is Gathering of Christ Church, as far as the One West groups go. Now, GOCC, I've known of people who mentioned they went there, and they thought it was just a different style church, but they thought it was a church. And, you know, they've thrown away with the hardcore slavery doctrine that white people and Japanese and Chinese and Arabs and Indians will go into slavery for all the kingdom. They've thrown away that into a doctrine that says you just have to recognize us as the teachers, but you can still fellowship with us as brethren. And so they'll have white people, for example, eating at their Passover feast, something that the other more hardline groups criticize them for. But it's made them look a lot more like, I mean, just think about the name, Chris, Gathering of Christ Church. That almost sounds like you could call it Calvinist Church, that, doesn't it?
That's
right?
The elect, yes.
Yeah, seriously. And that's they have a different understanding of that. But that's another example. It's very sneaky. And here's what's going on. The more this thing grows, the more it diversifies. And I was talking to Pastor Eric Mason about this the other day, and we were quite concerned because he was showing me some videos he had found of folks who were clearly middle to upper middle class who were espousing their version of Hebrew Israelism on some of these popular internet videos that he had found. And we watched them, and he said, this is troubling, Vocab, because when something starts taking root in the middle class, that gives it stability. And he said, this is a real problem. And he leads a Reformed church out there in Philadelphia, Philly. And he's most certainly right, because the younger Hebrew Israelite, or the Hebrew Israelites movement when it was younger, was comprised a lot of kind of wayward young men or burnt out older men, to be honest with you. That is changing. And one time I went to, now this isn't directly related to the infiltration of Christian churches, but one time I went to one of these services on a Saturday at the local IUIC congregation, and I just waited outside and kind of observed. I didn't go inside or anything, although I did talk to them at the end. But anyways, I was shocked at the amount of full-fledged families coming out of there. These are middle-class people who love their families, who have professional jobs, and are caught up in a really dangerous cult. So people, I think, are unaware of what's happening, and here's usually what happens. People are unaware till they run into Hebrew Israelism, like a friend or a family member or somebody that they knew from church or Bible college years ago. Then they start to realize how big of a problem it is and how ill-prepared they are to deal with it. So I'm just trying to kind of lay the groundwork so people aren't caught off guard, because it's a growing, not a shrinking problem. No doubt about that. And let me tell you a very sad story now. This is a very sad story. I wanted to say the worst for last, Chris. There's a congregation that is a Reformed Baptist, Calvinist all the way, congregation in Florida. Both of the founders, the head elders, are highly trained in seminary. They had graduate degrees in above from Reformed seminaries. Now, both men were black, so it was a black Reformed leadership structure, but the congregation itself was about sort of half and half. Is a very diverse, wonderful, beautiful congregation down there, right? Well, slowly but surely, the main, kind of the lead elder, he started kind of taking in some Hebrew Israelism doctrine. And the other elder did not really realize how serious it was. He just thought the elder had some interesting questions, you know. Next thing the other pastor knew, the other elder, and according to the congregation, because I interviewed them, this is one of the smartest men almost all of them had ever known in their life, they said. So it really shook up this congregation. Said, hey, I'm a Hebrew Israelite now. I've rediscovered my roots, and I am leaving. And he had done a lot of groundwork convincing the congregation, but to the point where about half the church left with him.
That is utterly amazing. You're talking about a trained man,
theologically trained
in the Reformed faith. So this is obviously one of those glaring examples of the supernatural powers of darkness, because obviously no sane and educated person would adopt these these evil and insane ideas.
This church, well, because I went down there and visited them in Florida and spent some time with them after this happened, this church was certainly one of the most Calvinistic churches you could ever go to. I mean, they're very deep into the Reformed faith in every way you can imagine. And it's a real tragedy because what happened is it went from a mixed congregation church, basically black and white church, to a church with one black family. The remaining elder was the only black family left. They all left. All the folks left with them. So some pretty tough stuff. And so that's kind of a shocking thing. But the thing is, that happens. And unfortunately, I haven't even given all the examples. I have another example I could share about a Christian rapper who's actually not really a Christian rapper, who's infiltrating Christian rap circles in Buffalo, New York. I have another example I could give about a pastor in Texas who turned his keys over to one of these camps, and the camp he turned his keys, when I say keys, I mean the keys to the actual physical building of the church. This camp that he turned his keys over to, the ISUPK, is one of the most hateful groups out of the whole Hebrew Israelism spectrum. I mean, they are vicious in their racism. There's no nuance with them at all. And so this is a problem. And I know it's not on everyone's radar, Chris, but what I'm trying to do is spread the word so there's a proactive awareness. And what the church can do is be proactive in some of the issues, because there are real felt needs that are going on here. And the church can say, let's recognize some of these legitimate concerns and deal with them with gospel solutions. Because if we don't, there's a real danger that some cult will come along with it, with what seems to be an answer. Because remember what Dr. Walter Martin said so many years ago: the cults are the unpaid bills of the church. And I do think there's a lot of truth to that when it comes to Hebrew Israelism, Chris.
Yeah, this is pretty frightening. I think it would probably be good to remind our listeners the four or five primary distinctives of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement that they share in common, at least, because it is a multifaceted group, as you have been explaining.
The big one for them, anyway, is the ethnic hierarchy. Now, I just mentioned ISUPK, which took over a Christian church in Texas. ISUPK are unadulterated racists. And if you ask them about this, they'll say, well, God's a racist. Look at Romans. It says, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. They equate Esau with the white man. So they say, look there, God himself is a racist. So yeah, we're racist too, but that's the way you're supposed to be as an Israelite. So they're all the way there. And then there's the other groups I mentioned, such as GOCC, which will have white folks and folks of Asian persuasion hang out with them at their Passovers and call them brother and sister. Yet, they all have some version of an ethnic hierarchy, with the tribe of Judah, who they identify as black Americans at top, and the Benjamites, whom they identify as Jamaicans and whatnot, right behind, and the Levites, who they identify as Haitians, right behind, and everybody else kind of falling in line. They all have an ethnic hierarchy, and in some way or another, it results in ecclesiastical constrictions. I heard of a story of a man who was a teacher in Israel of God, which is supposed to be the most moderate group out there, and he was a very popular teacher. Well, he found out his lineage was different than he thought much later in life, after he was already a popular teacher in this Israel of God movement. Meaning his father was basically white, and he didn't realize this, he didn't know this. Well, since they consider lineage to be on your father's side, guess what happened to this teacher in the Israel of God, who was a very popular teacher? They set him down. He's not allowed to teach black people, because even though he looked black to them, his father was a white man, and so he doesn't have the biblical authority to teach the Bible. He can only learn. That's an ethnic hierarchy, if I ever saw one. The other ones are meritorious works-keeping soteriological systems, basically some version of a works-based system. And I gave the example yesterday of, actually, this would be funny to ask Brother Jay about if you get around to it. He debated a Hebrew Israelite, a guy out of Chicago who now lives in Arkansas, and in that debate, even though Brother Jay quoted all the New Testament passages about circumcision being, availeth nothing now in the New Covenant, he asked him, so do you need to be circumcised to be saved? And the guy said, yes. You got to be circumcised. So they all have some version of a works-based salvation as well. They all deny the Trinity, and they all deny the deity of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So those are five big problem sticking points for me.
Now, do they have, I'm sure that they do, if you could tell us what some buzzwords and catchphrases and things like that, where if a church is being visited by strangers who seem to be religiously knowledgeable about certain things, but they're not quite sure whether they are, quote-quote, kosher, how would one typically detect that they are speaking to a black Hebrew Israelite that might not come out and use that phrase?
If they start asking about who fulfills the curses of Deuteronomy 28, if someone starts asking that, even if they're saying, that's a dead giveaway. If they start talking about who are the people of this book, if they kind of use some kind of terminology like the people of this book in the modern era, that's another dead giveaway. If they're overly interested in the ethnic identification, or the in their mind, the proper identification for Jews or Israelites in their modern era, that's another giveaway. If they point to verses about Sabbath keeping and then say, well, why are we here on a Sunday? Now, that could be a Hebrew roots person, to be fair, but that's another thing that a Hebrew Israelite will do. Also, if they show signs of sacred name movement, the sacred name is where you've got to have the right name of God to kind of please him. Jehovah's Witnesses are guilty of this, even though they don't even have the right name anyway, because Jehovah's, of course, is anglicized. But if they make some big deal about the actual name, that's another giveaway as well. If they keep on using this phrase, our people need to keep the laws, statutes, and commandments, if they keep on repeating something like that, some variation of laws, statutes, and commandments, that's another dead giveaway as well. So there's a number of things right there. Another thing, of course, is a great lead-in for them is they often try to prove that Jesus is black. They do that as a way to get their doctrine sort of foot in the door, because once a person's convinced Jesus is black, they're more willing to listen to the whole Hebrew Israelite schema. The way the Hebrew Israelites generally do that is going to Revelation, and they'll say, look, he had woolly hair. Now, the text, of course, doesn't say that. It says his hair was white like wool, which has to do with the splendor of Jesus.
That was actually brought up, I don't know how old you are, but that was actually brought up on the old sitcom from the 70s. Yes.
Yep. You know, it's funny, Chris, that you mentioned that. The reason I know that is not because I watched it. It's because Hebrew Israelites always talk about it. They love that clip. They love that clip. So, yeah, that's an example. And what did the lady say? She said it looks like Ned the Wino or something like that. You know what's funny about that, Chris? The Hebrew Israelites actually teach that the flame or the fire, the red eyes of Jesus that are portrayed in Revelation, they actually teach that, some of the groups teach that that's Jesus drinking alcohol, and he's ready to smash on his enemies right after he just drank alcohol. Some of them actually do teach that's from being red-eyed, from drinking alcohol.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. So those are some dead giveaways. When you start hearing stuff like that, if they use a peculiar version of Hebrew, so for example, Yahweh Shai for Jesus and Yahweh for God, if they start using that, that's their own special language, that's another giveaway. If they ask you who you are on your father's side, and then based upon what you say, for example, if you say, well, I'm a Native American, and they say, you're the tribe of Gad, because I don't know if people recognize, but a lot of these groups actually accept Native Americans on their 12 tribes chart. So if they ask what your ethnicity is and then assign you a specific tribe, that's a real dead giveaway. So there's some of them.
Well, I want you to give our listeners all of the contact information, your YouTube channel and all that, where they can start hearing you teach and how they can communicate with you, etc.
Awesome. Well, the main place I'm active is on YouTube, youtube.com/vocabmalone. I go live at least twice a week on a show called Backpack Radio Live, where I interact with listeners, and lately we've been having upwards of 150 people on the live stream at once. We just hit 10,000 subscribers, so as long as YouTube doesn't shut us down, which eventually they will, in the meantime, we're going to make best use of it on there, because it's a way people are learning, unfortunately, actually, more and more these days. So that's the main place. Then on social media, from Periscope to Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to Gmail to Snapchat, all those different social media, I'm the same across the board, at Vocab Malone, VocabMalone. Literally, it's the same on all those social media platforms. And so I'm easy to track down that way. I do have a couple of traditional websites, such as VocabMalone.com and another one called BackpackRadio.com, another one called StreetApologist.com. But that's not really where I'm most active. I'm most active on social media. And my book is available on Amazon. Just type in Vocab Malone or type in Black Hebrew Israelites. It's usually the fourth or fifth entry to pop up.
Great. Well, thank you so much for very late notice being our guest today. And also thank you for introducing me to our second guest who will be coming up after the station break, Jaron Scheider, a.k.a. Brother Jay, who is going to be giving his testimony as a former Black Hebrew Israelite who is now all to the praise, honor, and glory of Jesus Christ, a born-again believer. So thank you so much, Vocab. We look forward to having you return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the near future.
Thank you so much, for Chris, for being faithful in the ministry God has given you, and I look very, very much forward to hearing Brother Jay's interview, because he's one of the most dynamic, exciting guys involved with this whole area. I love hearing him speak, and I think your listeners will be greatly blessed by a story of hope and empowerment through the gospel, and it's affected his whole family, and I've been able to meet them in Texas, and they're just wonderful, beautiful folks who are still recovering in many ways, but have experienced the grace and redemption of Jesus in a new, powerful way, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
Great. Well, God bless you, brother, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
Yes, sir. God bless. Thank you, Chris.
And don't go away, folks, because as I mentioned, and as we mentioned, Jaron Scheider, a.k.a. Brother Jay, is going to be on next after this elongated station break, and he's going to be giving his testimony as a former Black Hebrew Israelite. Our email address, if you have a question for Brother Jay, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kerry Kimbrell, Senior Pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And I'm hoping that many of you who listen to Chris Aronson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program will join Chris and me at the Deep South Founders Conference Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th here in Laurel. If you love God's Word and love to hear it powerfully preached, I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. Our speakers at the Deep South Founders Conference this year include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and our keynote speaker all the way from Zambia, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who has received the nickname the Spurgeon of Africa. And I, for one, believe it's a very accurate description of Brother Conrad. For more details, go to deepsouthfounders.com. That's deepsouthfounders.com. I look forward to giving a big Mississippi welcome to many Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners, January 24th through January 26th. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Aronson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and purchase at least $50 worth of merchandise, you will get the book Always Reforming by David Engelsma absolutely free of charge. And they're also having a Christmas sale right now where they are taking 10% off everything in the store, including those things that are already discounted. So make sure you mention Chris Aronson at IronSharpensIronRadio.com every time you purchase anything from CVBBS.com. We just have a few special announcements for upcoming events that we want you to be aware of. The upcoming Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon is going to be held Thursday, January 3rd at the Carlisle, Pennsylvania Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall. That's Thursday, January 3rd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. All men in ministry leadership are welcome, whether they are pastors, elders, deacons, or leaders in parachurch organizations. Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary, where he serves on the faculty as professor of apologetics in Islam, he will be the speaker at the luncheon. It's absolutely free of charge, and not only will you be fed for free, but you'll be leaving with at least one or two heavy sacks of free books donated by most of the major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom. Everything is free of charge. Nothing is for sale at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. If you'd like to attend, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com, chrisaronson@gmail.com, and put in the subject line that you want to register for the Iron Trip and Zion Radio Pastors Luncheon. Then later that week, from Friday, January 4th through Sunday, January 6th, I am organizing a three-day conference featuring Dr. Tony Costa at the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania, where my friend Pastor George Jensen is the pastor. Dr. Costa will be speaking on the theme, The Most Dangerous Threats to the Christian Church in North America in the 21st Century. And it's absolutely free of charge. And this event is open up to everyone. You don't have to be a man or a man in leadership. You could be a man, woman, or child. You don't even have to be a Christian to attend this free conference. If you want more details, call 717-732-4253. 717-732-4253, which is the number for the Enola First Church of God. You can also go to their website, enolacog.com, enolacog.com. And you could also email me at chrisarnson@gmail.com and say, I want to go to the three-day conference with Tony Costa or something similar. Then, towards the middle of January, from Thursday the 17th of January through Saturday the 19th of January, I will be returning to the G3 conference in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. The G3 conference is this January going to be on the theme, The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. It's going to be held once again at the Georgia International Convention Center. And the speakers include Dr. James R. White, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vody Balcom, Conrad M. Bewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that lineup. If you want to register, either to attend or also to man your own exhibitor's booth, if you have a business, a professional practice, a parachurch organization, a church, or a special event that you want to promote in the crowd of between 4,000 and 5,000 people, you could register for an exhibitor's booth as well at g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and that stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, in case you're wondering. And then after that, at the end of the month, I will be heading out to Mississippi for the very first time in my life for the Deep South Founders Conference. That's going to be held January 24th through the 26th. I'll be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Trip and Zion Radio there as well at the Bethlehem Baptist Church of Laurel, Mississippi. The theme is sanctification. The speakers include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and the keynote speaker is Dr. Conrad M. Bewe. If you'd like to register for the Deep South Founders Conference, go to deepsouthfounders.com, deepsouthfounders.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Zion Radio and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, please donate to us as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are facing a very frightening time again financially. We already have a number of bills that we have not paid that need to be paid. Please, if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to support your local church and family, because we never want you neglecting either of those two commands of God. You must support your church and your family before anything else. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to support your church and family, please financially support Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also send in a check via snail mail to the address that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as you are, whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we really do need the advertising dollars. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for our second guest today, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Our second guest today, if you haven't heard already, is Jaron Scheider, a.k.a. Brother Jay. He's a music producer. He's a Christian R&B artist and Christian apologist who spent nearly 4 years as a member of the IUIC, Israel United in Christ, cult, which is a camp within the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. before his new life in Jesus Christ. And today he's going to be addressing his testimony as a former black Hebrew Israelite. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, Brother Jay.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the invite, Mr. Chris.
Well, if you want to join us on the air with a question for Brother Jay, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Brother Jay, tell us about your upbringing. What kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and how was it that you first became introduced to the Black Hebrew Israelite movement?
No problem. My background, I grew up in a very religious family. Almost everyone is a pastor or elder or deacon or something. And so I grew up in a religious family, very musical family, in the apostolic, Pentecostal holiness, sect of Christianity. I grew up in where, you know, you had to speak in tongues to be saved and all that type of stuff.
Wow.
And yeah, so, you know, I never, while growing up, I never did speak in tongues. So, you know, of course you don't think you're saved, but, and I was a musician. So with me being a musician, in a very religious family, but they were all in different type of churches as well. I ended up, I grew up playing in Pentecostal Holiness, Apostolic, AME, Baptist. I kind of grew up in all those factions there. And when I got older, I always felt like something was missing or whatever the case is. And even though I grew up religious and in the Christian church, I didn't live as a Christian should live. And so, I just felt like something was missing. As I got older, well, when I was younger, just starting out, it was all about the music. I didn't really want to go to church half the time. I was drugged there by my mom, dad a lot of times because I was the only keyboard player. And but when I got older, I started kind of growing out of that phase of it just being about the music, and I wanted to actually hear what people were saying when they were preaching. And after a while of that, I ended up moving away because I went into the military. I went into the Air Force. And while I was there, I was still in going to Pentecostal Holiness Church. I tried the non-denominational churches and different things like that. And eventually it got to a point where, and I was one of these guys that, because of the misunderstanding of baptism that they were taught, I thought every time you back cleared or something like that, you got to come back, be rebaptized. And all these times, so I got baptized about 4 or 5 times in my life. But it finally got to a point where I felt like something was missing about it. I didn't know exactly what it was. And I'm gonna give you the short version of this this story because this is years process here. But it finally got to a point where me and my wife, after getting out of the military, we moved to Georgia. And while we were there, she had a thought that was just like, you know, I wonder if any Jews believe in Jesus. You know, because where we grew up and the church we went to, it was barely any mention about Jews really like that, unless you're talking about the Old Testament law. And so she had that question, and she flipped across the channels and came across a Messianic Jewish man talking about Jesus. And so she started listening to them. I was kind of in my own world. You know, I wasn't really caring. Before that, I actually had an experience. I guess I got to mention this so you guys can see the connection. But I had an experience one night while we was in our house, and we lived in Georgia, where I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was just laying there on the bed for whatever reason, and then I start hearing this loud, almost horn alarm type sound in my right ear, and as it revved up, it was like, and as it revved up, my body vibrated, I couldn't get off the bed. So it went on for like 5 minutes, and so after it went away, I could finally move around, and I'm like, I looked at my wife and my oldest boy at the time. I said, I know I ain't the only person who heard this. So then I was like, let me lay back down and see if it comes back. So I lay back down, maybe 5 minutes go by, and then it comes back. And while that alarm sound is going on, my body's tingling, I can't move. I remember what my mom used to tell me when I was young. She used to say that when you have those type of experiences where you try to get up off the bed and you can't, it's a witch riding your back, and then you got to say, Jesus, a bunch of times, and then it'll leave. But she mentioned that you're scared when that happens. But the whole time I was going through this experience, I wasn't afraid. I was very calm, but it was happening, and I was very aware of my surroundings. And but I tried to do the Jesus thing she taught me, and I knew my mouth was moving, but my eyes were open, so I could. But my literal mouth wasn't moving. If somebody can kind of picture that. And so So eventually it went away. Next thing I know, I'm waking up. So I'm calling everybody, every, you know, person I thought would hear from God to tell me what that was. And nobody had an answer for me. And so time goes by, maybe a couple of months, a year to a year. My wife didn't have that question. I wonder if any Jews believe in Jesus. And so while she's looking on at this congregation, Pastor Mark Blitz out of Seattle, Washington, at the beginning of their services, they have these guys come and play shofar horns. Now, prior to that, I ain't know nothing about a shofar. But I'm playing a video game in the living room. She's like, hey, come look. She knows I do music and stuff like that, so she thought I would be interested in that.
A shofar drives a limousine, right? I'm only kidding.
Right. Yeah, they do that too, yeah.
I know it's the ram's horn musical instrument used by the Jews, yes. All right.
Right. And so so I'm playing the game, and she's like, you know, come look at it. These guys about to play these horn things. And so I'm ignoring it. I'm playing the video game. And then she plays it on her laptop at the table. And so I hear the sound. When I heard the sound, I dropped the remote and ran over there to see what it was doing. And I said, hey, rewind that back. So then she rewind it back and played it again. And they came up there. One guy had a long horn. And if anybody know about the ram's horn or the shofar, the longer it is, the deeper the tone. And the shorter it is, the higher the pitch. And so they played it. And that's that sound I was hearing that night when I was vibrating on the bed. And I couldn't move. And so from that point, I started listening to, the Pastor Mark Blitz. That's when I first started hearing about, you know, the laws of Moses and things like that and the feast days and what they meant, and they were still a practicing by tradition church where they still practice the feast. We tried to do it, and it kept failing, man. We were trying to follow along, but it was just failing. And I became legalistic because as I was reading through the laws, you see, this is for perpetual covenant or this is perpetual statute or throughout your generations or forever. And thou shall not. And I became very rigid and legalistic about it to where I started to look at the law as the way to eternal life instead of Christ. And what happened while I stopped listening to him is that he made the statement, he said that you don't keep the law to be saved. And when he said that, I got offended. And I said, no, because this is God's law and you got to do it. And so, I stopped listening to him. And I started looking for a Jewish synagogue in Georgia where I was living at to congregate with that would be about the feast and the laws and very rigid. And so I found one called Bethel something. I can't remember the other part of the name, but it was called Bethel something. And they had a section on their website, and this is leading up to how I got into Black Israelite movement. They had a section on their website that said become a Jew because they still practice the proselyting and the physical circumcision. So I'm reading through this. I'm reading all these scriptures, starting at Abraham when he got the covenant and, when it's reestablished with the children of Israel in Leviticus 12. And I'm reading all these scriptures about the Jews and how God looked at them and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, I want to be a Jew. So I went to my wife, and I was crying. I'm like, I was a grown man. I was crying because I wanted to be a Jew. But I was in this dilemma because where I'm from, when you have a child, you get them circumcised while they're at the hospital. And so I'm like, well, wait, how is this going to work being I'm already circumcised? Do I get re-circumcised? And I'm like in this dilemma. My wife says, I ain't seen nothing in the Bible that say you got to do that.
And in fact, I don't think you can be. If somebody wants to re-circumcise you, I would run as fast as you can run.
I'm not thinking about the pain. I'm not thinking about all that stuff that's going to come from this. But I know I wanted to be a Jew. And so when she told me that, I was kind of a dream shot. So I let it go. And I stopped listening to them. I started venturing off these other little factions in the middle that were about the laws and laws. And so what happened is I always admired men who had this boldness to where if they're proclaiming the scriptures and somebody's like coming after them or trying to hurt them or something, they just stand boldly on it. So I always admired that and always wanted that. For myself, that type of boldness regarding the scriptures. And so I used to watch debates all the time, Jews versus Christians. I watched them debating online about different topics. And one day on YouTube on the right side, these guys in purple and gold, and it said, the Israelites. So I clicked on it, and the first thing that gravitated me towards them, and this is the IUIC school, that for those that may not know, they're the guys that wear purple and gold as their main colors. And so I'm watching them, and I'm watching these street teachers. They had the in-the-class teachers, and they had street teachers. I didn't find the in-the-class ones interesting because they're just in a classroom. But I found the ones when they're in the street very interesting because you deal with all these people, and they want to fight you and stuff, and they're standing there, you know, like an army, basically. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the confrontation. That drew me in first. And then it was the Bronx camp in New York, the head camp, video that I came across, and they brought out Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, all my life, I didn't care nothing about who I am, who my forefathers, whatever. I didn't care about any of that stuff. All I knew was I wanted to be a Jew. If I wanted to be anything, I wanted to be a Jew in life. And so they brought out Deuteronomy 28 and started going through these verses and started saying, you know, you black man, Hispanic man, you American man, the reason why you're on the bottom, blah, 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 you're in the ghetto, and all these different things, because you're God's chosen people, but you broke his laws, that's the commandment, and until you repent and come back and keep these laws, you're going to be cursed. You're the Jews. You're the real Jews. And so when they said that, and they brought out Deuteronomy 28:48, which is one of the main verses, with the yokes of iron around the neck, and they show you the slave collars, pictures, and they went to Deuteronomy 28:68, and said that was talking about the transatlantic slave trade. I remember back to the little bit of history I knew from high school and middle school, because social studies is my favorite subject outside of PE. And so when I put together, yo, transatlantic, it's talking about the transatlantic slave trade? The yoke of iron is the slave trade? And, you know, stuff like that. And I believed it. They had the pictures. So once they show you the pictures, man, and read the scripture, they, hey, it looked like it all goes together. So I started following them, and that's how I got into the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. And then from there, I started learning a lot of heresy things in which they taught.
Now, was that the group that I mentioned when I introduced you?
Yeah.
The IUIC, Israel United in Christ? Okay.
Yes, sir.
We're going to our final break right now. If anybody wants to join us with a question for Brother Jay regarding the Black Hebrew Israelites, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Brother Jay and more of his testimony on how the Lord delivered him from the Black Hebrew Israelite cult.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the second hour with about a half hour to go, actually about 20 minutes to go, is Jaron Scheider, a.k.a. Brother Jay. We are discussing his testimony as a former Black Hebrew Israelite who has become, by the grace and power and mercy and love of Jesus Christ, a born-again believer in Christ. And if you'd like to join us before we run out of time, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, asks, can you clarify when you were hearing that sound of the shofar blowing, whether or not you were awake or asleep?
Yeah, I was awake, man. I was looking around. Granted, you guys don't, I was in an apartment, but I had a window right there where I was. And so I was looking at that.
I mean, it could have been coming from outside, or do you think this was a supernatural demonic experience?
The first time, when it first originally began, up until the point where it revved up and I couldn't move, I thought it was maybe a train or something like that. But once I started not being able to move, the higher, the more it revved up, and then once it went away and I got up and looked at my wife and son, and they were still asleep, at that point I knew it was something else than some train sound or something like that, because as loud as it was and I couldn't move, no one else heard it.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that shows you that of folks that are always looking for a sign and a wonder and something supernatural, shows you how dangerous that could be, because that was what led you into this cult, ultimately.
Yeah.
Thank you, CJ. Well, tell us now about how you came back to the Christian faith, and specifically to Reform theology.
All right, so I ended up after, you know, some years in the movement.
That was 4 years, right?
Yeah, about 4 years, and while in there, obviously, salvation is based off our ability to keep the laws given to Moses, and so and of course with the feast days, etc., you got to count to them, which is you know, you have the new moon and all that type of stuff that goes into play. And so while I was there, the camp I was part of was real boisterous and arrogant, and it would always say, you know, they're the true prophets of God come back, and you would never hear them say anything outside the Bible. And so they were teaching one way to count these feast days. After a couple of years in there, the head bishop, Nathaniel, came out with a quotation mark, revelation, and changed the way in which we counted. And so for me, that was such a big deal, because if I'm trying to keep the law to be saved, and we got these feast days that are appointments, and you done told me before this is what God says and all of that, and now you changed it up, well, either you was lying before or you lying now. You can't be telling the truth both times. They're opposite. So I ended up leaving them simply over that, but I still believed the doctrine. And I was actually looking for another school to join in Texas after I left them. But every time I got ready to reach out to somebody, like, something would just not let me send the message. So I always erased it, and I just kept, you know, reading the scriptures and trying to find the right new moon phase so that I can keep these laws that we would always say while we're in there. And so it got to a point where I felt entangled. I felt trapped. I felt like God was going to kill me. I felt, I remember one day walking to the room and telling my wife that I feel like there's a literal yoke around my neck, you know, pun intended for what I have been learning. And I literally feel like there's a yoke around my neck. And so I just kept reading and fasting. That's all I really could do at that point. And then it finally got to a point where I got so low. You know, I remember praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know the truth is in this Bible. I know Christ taught it, but I don't know it. And then once I committed that, the thought came to mind, was, if you believe the truth is in the scriptures, and that Christ taught it, start with him. For those that don't know, when you go into the cult, there's a certain way that you interpret the Bible and a certain way you read it. And they'll misquote Isaiah 28:9-10 with the precept upon precept. So you never, when you're reading the New Testament letters, you don't read them as letters. You don't start from the beginning and through the end. You read two-liners, one-liners, and run somewhere else and try to piece together this puzzle. Because they said that the Bible was a puzzle and only the Israelites, the true prophets of God, could put it together. And so I started to actually read through the New Testament letters as letters are to be read from the beginning to the end. And I remember getting through this one section in Paul's writings, where he said, take not this liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And when I read that, I was like, what liberty he talking about? Because, you know, being up under this law system, there is no liberty. It's you should do this, you should do that, eat this way, be this time, you know, appointment fee, do it this way. There's no liberty, there's no freedom in that. And so I was like, well, what is he talking about? So I kept reading it. And as time go along, the Lord started taking the veil away from my eyes as I started seeing these feast days and how they pointed to Christ and what it meant and how, you know, we're not under the previous covenant where these are mandates and if you don't keep them, you're going to be cut off. All this type of stuff. I started to see what they really pointed to, which was Christ. And so finally the Lord started opening my eyes and to the gospel, the promise of Abraham. Because the camp I was in, only the 12 tribes could be saved. When it came to Gentiles, it was Israelites that was in a Gentile state of mind. So everybody else, white people, Asian people, Africans, they couldn't be saved. It was only for Black and Hispanic Native Americans. So I started to see the scriptures as to who the law and the prophets really talking about when they said the Gentiles. And the very last thing was the Deuteronomy 28. The thought came, you know, the scripture that says that Christ, there was no guile found in his mouth. And there's no deceit in the truth. So the thought came was, all right, well, if you're going to walk in truth and emulate Christ and there's no guile found in his mouth, go back and examine Deuteronomy 28 and make sure that what you had learned there was true. If it is false, let it go. So at that point, I didn't care. I didn't care if I was an Israelite or not, because now I found my freedom in Christ. So I just wanted to go back and make sure that I wasn't deceiving folks by telling them they're Israelites because of curses and all that kind of stuff. So went back, went through all the verses, reading through the Old Testament, seeing these things come about, seeing that, you know, yokes of iron was on more than just the children of Israel, but also all the nations when you read Jeremiah 27 and 28. Seeing that Deuteronomy 28, 16 ain't talking about the transatlantic slave trade, but it was actually talking about literal slavery back into Egypt. And finding that history where that actually took place. And finally, it showed and proved itself through the scriptures and through history that what they had been teaching us from Deuteronomy 28 was false. And that's when the Lord took all of that out of me. And so I started doing interviews and stuff, talking about the experiences that I had while in there. And to bring it full circle, because we know everything is in the sovereign Lord's hand, and that and everything works together for the good of those that are called according to his purpose, that whole journey that I went through going into, you know, falling to Messianic Jewish people, I became legalistic and became offended when they said that you don't keep the law to be saved. And I found myself through the legalism, found myself into a cult and into bondage for the Lord to have mercy on me and to shed his light in, of the gospel on me. So now I do this ministry where all I do is help people who are stuck in there, to show them the heresy that they're in, as well as those that's come out that's going through what I've been through, where they don't know which way is right. And so, and to be able to show them the gospel. So I see the reason why it all went that way, and why I went through all of that to be able to help people today. So that's pretty much the journey into the gospel and the Reformed faith, the doctrine of God's sovereignty, and the doctrine of grace, that salvation is not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith in Christ. And so, yeah, man.
Well, we have Arnie in Perry County who wants to know, is there any specific figures from the Reformed faith that you either read or heard preach on sermon audio or the radio that were used of God to lead you into the Reformed faith?
Honestly, one day, I was just reading the scriptures. I didn't know anything about a John Calvin or anybody of the Reformed. I didn't know about the Reformed faith, period. I was just reading Romans 9 one day, and as I'm reading through it, I start to see how, you know, about God's elect, you know, chosen right by God. God's desire to show his wrath and judgment. And when I saw that, it was almost like somebody lit a light inside of my body, and all I got was, I just got scared. I couldn't sleep. I just got scared. I'm like, man, you know, like, God thought he really showed himself that night. And then the next day, while talking to a brother I do online ministry with the Black Hebrew Israelite, he kept hearing me, kept talking about God's sovereignty and God's elect and stuff like that. And he said, hey, man, let me, you ever heard of Tulip? And I said, what's that? So he said, let me read this to you. So he said, I'm going to just read it to you and tell me if you agree. All right, cool. So he read through Tulip, what the acronym stood for, and I agreed to everything. And so he was like, and that's when he started telling me about John Calvin, the Reformation period. And that's actually how I found out about the Reformation and just Reformed Church period, was through God showing me in Romans 9 his sovereignty and his election. And then that brought me to this journey. So now knowing about the Reformed faith, I listen to, you know, James White, I'm reading right now Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther. Been listening to Vadi Bachman a little. I've come to know these guys through the other brothers that I do ministry with online.
Hey, amen. By the way, you might find this interesting, is years ago, an Orthodox Jewish journalist bought airtime from me when I was working for WMCA Radio in New York City, and he purchased a two-hour block of time so that he could debate a fundamentalist Baptist. This fundamentalist Baptist he debated happened to be an anti-Calvinist, and I was listening to the debate at home on the radio, and it was quite hilarious, actually, because the Orthodox Jew, not knowing anything about Reformation history, about John Calvin, about those buzzwords like Calvinism and so on, he assumed, because he said he identified himself as a student of the New Testament, even though he was not a Christian. He had read the New Testament dozens of times, and he assumed that all Christians believed in the doctrines of sovereign grace. He didn't call them that, but he just assumed that unconditional election and other things that are unique to the Reformed faith, he assumed all Christians believed those things. So it was kind of a similar situation to you, with the big difference is this man did not believe in the Christian faith. He just thought that that's what Christians believed across the board. We have, let's see here. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, Chris, earlier you said that people who are caught up in the social justice movement are opening up their doors to people like Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Could you clarify what you mean by that? Oh, that's actually a very good question, because I, first of all, even though I have very strong disagreements with my Reformed brethren who claim to be also simultaneously involved in the social justice warrior movement, I was not referring to the prominent figures who are, other than those social justice issues, very conservative in their theology. I was speaking about your mainline churches that are predominantly black, that are involved in a social gospel, and where social justice preoccupies what they preach on. But that actually leads me to a good question to you. Do you think that there is even a danger amongst our conservative brothers who are involved in the social justice movement to drift into racial hatred against whites and others, and be more prone to adopt something like you had experienced?
Yes, and I've experienced even in the circle of the brothers that I do online ministry with, some of the guys that we were doing things with got caught up into the whole the social justice thing, and it became like they started to be super pro-black church and wanting to, I saw it coming when it first started, I saw it and I distanced myself from it, because I saw what was coming, and it reminded me too much of the Black Hebrews Like movement, because that's what the movement thrives off of, that type of stuff. Every week, you know, we're indoctrinated with more and more history of slavery, or they'll use the propaganda that's on TV, or unarmed black guy gets shot or something like that, and things that make us angry and hate white people. And we had a revenge doctrine that when Christ came back, he was going to kill all the white people, and whoever he didn't kill, they were going to slavery. And so, and the stuff that people are bringing up, I've already told brothers that all it is trying to bolster and give people pride of the flesh. It has nothing to do with Christ. It's not rooted in Christ at all. And I always tell brothers to stay away from it because social justice movement and the Black Community Life movement ain't too far away from each other. And it's clear to the things that they push and what they desire. And so I always stay clear of it. But I see the danger in it, and we have discussions on it online and stuff too.
We have, let's see, Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania wants to know, how quickly did your racial hatred or at least bigoted views against whites disappear after you became a Christian? Was it an immediate thing or was it a gradual thing?
It was very immediate because even while I was in the movement, I didn't really hate white people. It was more of the doctrine, and you don't want to you don't want the brothers while you're in there to think you're not serious about the truth. So I never really hated white people. I just, when I was in the movement, I was just like, let me stay clear from them, and it led to a lot of confusion points where we want to help somebody, like say was on the side of the street asking for some money or something, and they were white. You would want to help them, but because of their doctrine, we didn't help them. And so it always bothered me and my wife. And so once I came out of the movement, got away from under that constant feeding of hatred, and just kept reading the scriptures and hearing about the Gentile. Once the Lord opened my eyes concerning who the Gentiles in reference to the gospel was, and that was the actual nations, the hatred I did have there or whatever, that went away. It was quick. Because I never really hated the other races. It was more of the doctrine thing. I had to do it because of the doctrine.
Right, but did you buy into, I mean, you can be bigoted without hating somebody. You could think someone's inferior. The Black Hebrew Israelites apparently teach that white people are inferior in some way.
Right.
So did you buy into that, or is that...
When I was in there, I wholeheartedly believed it, that we were superior to everybody on the earth, especially white people. I definitely wholeheartedly believed it while I was there. And so I definitely was bigoted in that sense, for sure. But once the Lord opened my eyes to who the Gentiles were, regarding to the gospel, then that went away.
We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, I know that the Nation of Islam teaches that white people are demons. Do the Black Hebrew Israelites share that view?
Now, you want to go case by case, because not every group in the Black Hebrew Israelite movement holds to that per se. You have some that's more closely sounding like they're Christians, but they still hold to that Black Hebrew Israelite identity stuff. But for the most part, especially when you're dealing with like IUIC, ISUPK, these One West, you'll hear us use that term, schools, and then some of those that are more rogue and kind of do their own thing, they believe that the white man is the devil. So when you read in Revelation, when it says, you know, that old dragon in the garden, the devil, that red dragon, they say that's the white man. They believe that a lot of them believe that the white man is the reincarnation of Cain.
Wow.
And
a reverse of the white racists who believe that the mark of Cain is the black race.
They believe that that the reincarnation of Cain is the white man, and specifically Esau, because, you know, in the King James Version said the first came out red. And so they used to have a slogan, you know, what do you call the white people down south? And you'd be like, redneck. And they'd be like, yeah.
Well, we're out of time, brother. How can our listeners get a hold of you?
My email is therealbrother, that's B-R-O-T-H-A, letter J, at yahoo.com. So therealbrotherj, all one word. And that's the letter J, at yahoo.com. Also, the same tagline, The Real Brother J on Facebook. That's where I do a lot of the live streams there. Or you can look up Brother J, B-R-O-T-H-A, the letter J, on YouTube, and you'll find my YouTube channel there.
Great. And by the way, folks, mark your calendars for Monday, December 24th, Christmas Eve. God willing, Brother J will be returning to Iron Trip and Zion Radio along with Chris Williams. And we're going to be continuing the theme, interesting theme for Christmas Eve. I'm dreaming of a Black Hebrew Israelite Christmas. But mark your calendars for that and join us for that continuation of this topic. Thank you so much, Brother Jay, for being on the program. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who wrote in questions, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.